From the Crossbreed Holster Studios, this is Armed American Radio.
Radio.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed Americans for 8 years running. Now, from the safest studio in the nation and filling your prescription for freedom in hundreds of cities, here is Mark Walters.
Safest darn radio studio in America. Boy, ain't that a fact, Jack. That's a fact. These Crossbreed Holster Studios are, in fact, the safest radio studios in all of America. That much I can promise you. There's an arsenal in here, so the left would say. What does he need all that ammo for? It's just a radio studio. Love it. Welcome to the program. I am Mark Walters, and I will be filling your prescription for freedom for the next 3 hours, beginning right now. Great program lined up for you. On the heels of the Georgia Kerry annual convention, annual meeting yesterday, got together with everybody and all the great folks over there. Can't believe it's been 9 years now. Unreal. Never missed one. And for the last 4 years, I've been emceeing the convention. I just can't believe time is flying. Good heavens, 4 years. A high school education has gone by. Or a college education has gone by. Wow. Or a liberal still lives at home until they're 26 during that time period, you know, not working. And man, oh man, it's just been something else. But Gene Hoffman from CalGuns, the speaker this year, Gene is such an amazing guy. So accomplished, I can't even go into it. He was on an airplane right now. I'd love to have brought him on the program, but we'll bring him on next week. Looking forward to having Gene Hoffman on from CalGuns. Talk about a guy that's fighting the fight for the right to bear arms out in California. That's a petri dish. Oh, gosh, it's just awful what's going on out in California. And Gene is a guy out there doing it, man. He's on the ground, and he doesn't have to. And he's giving his time and his effort. It's just amazing. And that's what's so great about the grassroots. Jerry Henry, the executive director of GeorgiaCarry.org, will be here at the bottom of this hour to take us up to the top of the next hour. So I'm looking forward to bringing you his voice to talk a little bit about the grassroots and what went down yesterday and what we can expect going forward in states like yours from a grassroots perspective, because I'm telling you right now, the fight is in the states. That's where it's at right now. Institutional gun control is dead. Bloomberg knows it. He's as much as admitted it. It's on the ground. The battlefield is where you live. So we'll talk with Jerry a little bit about that. Mr. Gottlieb, Alan Gottlieb, will be here. I'm going to go to him in just a second. A.W.R. Hawkins will be here. And the law of self-defense, we're going to do some legal ease today with Andrew Branca. Wow. He just gave a talk up at the FBI Academy. We're going to have some great conversation with Andrew. First, let me start off and toot my horn here just a little bit because I love the interaction. Going to read an email, then we're going to go to Mr. Gottlieb. Hey now, Mr. Walters, thank you for asking your listeners to take a few moments and respond to your survey. I respect a solution provider that listens to the voice of the customer. I took the survey in anticipation of giving you 5 stars on every response. Really enjoy your show and guest lineup. I'm never disappointed. You really should be very proud of the consistent quality of the product you deliver to your listeners 6 days every week. I do purchase products from your advertisers. Their limited advertising dollars did get a share of my wallet, unlike the other media that I enjoy, e.g. cable TV, social media platforms, etc. I selectively hit mute when advertisements pop up, but I actually pay attention to the advertisers on your show. Well, except for that one advertisement that has popped up since I started listening to you a number of years ago, the survey rang a big bell. How often do you listen to Into the Fray? Yeah, I heard the advertisement. I might have thought about checking it out a couple of times. Honestly, I never looked into it until I took your survey. I checked it out tonight, starting at episode 1 and concluding at episode 5. A real jewel. Wow. There is a really great library of information here that every responsible gun owner should know about. Thank you for being a great entrepreneur and listening to the voice of your customers. Thank you for a great survey that actually improved my standards for being a responsible gun owner. Thank you for the energy that you and your crew, K-R-E-W-E, crew, get to that in just a second, invest in AAR Daily and 3 times the energy on Sunday. Regards, Matt. And he's got a picture of the crew, K-R-E-W, the pirate stuff. So I'm guessing, Matt, you are from the Tampa area. I'm very familiar with the whole Gasparilla and the You Missed It crew and everything else. I may be wrong, but it's an educated guess. Thank you so much for the email. Appreciate your participation and the many, 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 many hundreds of you who took that survey. We do appreciate it much. All right, let's go to Mr. Alan Gottlieb. We're going to start this off because let's start, Alan, with Cook County, Illinois. I think people are going to, you know, here we are, you know, fighting in the court battles in the cesspool known as Chicago, the great Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. Alan, welcome.
Hey, good to be with you, Mark.
Always a pleasure, my friend. We missed you at the convention in Georgia yesterday, but we got a little surrogate there with Gene Hoffman. It was wonderful. Boy, he's fighting the fight, isn't he?
He sure is. And, you know, being president of Cal Guns is an important position, but he also serves on the as a trustee of the Second Amendment Foundation. So he's
right.
One of my loyal people that keep me on track.
Well, if anybody can do it, it's definitely Gene Hoffman. I'm looking forward to bringing his voice to the program very soon. Alan, let me kind of paraphrase a press release from you out of Bellevue, Washington at Second Amendment Foundation. Listeners, you're going to love this. The Second Amendment Foundation and Illinois State Rifle Association, sometimes heard as or mentioned as ISRA, are supporting a lawsuit by two Illinois residents seeking a permanent injunction against a ban on so-called assault weapons adopted in Cook County more than 10 years ago in a case filed in Cook County Circuit Court. Alan, this is really a refiling. Can you give us the skinny here?
Yeah, this is a very interesting case. You know, we very seldom get involved on litigation in state courts. We like to file them in federal court. So this is one of those that breaks the norm for us because we're in state court. But what happened here was back in 2007, these plaintiffs filed suit against this ordinance, and they got a very anti-gun judge, so to speak, who decided that, among other things, he would dismiss the case on the grounds that there are no Second Amendment grounds, and so arguing Second Amendment doesn't count. And what happened was is that it got kicked all the way up through the court system to the state Supreme Court in Illinois, who decided that, no, there is a Second Amendment question here, and you have to answer it at the lower court level. And it got kicked back down to the lower court, and the plaintiffs didn't have, enough wherewithal to continue the case, so to speak. And so everybody sort of agreed, well, okay, we'll put it in abeyance, and you have to, you know, refile it before a certain date or it goes stale and it's gone. And if you refile, you know, with the provisions the state Supreme Court gave us, you know, we'll hear the case. And so we picked up on it with the Illinois State Rifle Association and refiled the case with the original plaintiffs. And now we're in state court. What's interesting here is that the judge is not a friend of Second Amendment rights. He's probably not going to rule our way. But the state Supreme Court, on two occasions when this case bounced up to them and they bounced it back to the lower court, both times seemed very friendly to the Second Amendment issue and argument that an assault weapons ban is a violation of the Second Amendment, or a so-called assault weapons ban, particularly the one in Cook County, which is so vague that it takes out a significant number of people's shotguns as well. We've got this in court there, and eventually we'll get you back to the state Supreme Court, no doubt. What's important, Mark, is the fact that if you get a case to the U.S. Supreme Court, you have two routes. You can go through the federal courts, the appeals courts, and then hope the Supreme Court takes the case. Or there's another route, and that is you can take a case directly from a state Supreme Court to the U.S. Supreme Court. So this gives us a shot at getting an assault weapon ban case before the high court. And right now, it's about the clearest path we're going to be able to have maybe to get one there. And so it's important, and we're involved in funding this case.
All right. This is why Second Amendment Foundation is so vital. It's why I have a plaque on my wall that says lifetime member, $150. This is how we advance our agenda. And I mentioned to the group last night, Alan, at the Georgia Carry Convention, I said, look, If you see apathy, you got to call it out. You got to stop it, because we're at a historic crossroads here in America where we have a president that will move our agenda forward, and this is how we move it forward. This is what we're talking about. This is a shining star opportunity for Second Amendment Foundation to continue to advance our agenda forward through cases like this. Let me ask you a quick question before the break, and we're going to have to get out of this one quickly. But at first, hats off to Matthew D. Wilson and Troy Edlin, the two that had filed this case in the first place, the two plaintiffs. These are patriots, man. They really are. But it looks to me like the state Supreme Court in Illinois is using a certain level of scrutiny when they're applying the Second Amendment to this case. Is that true?
Yeah, they are. They're not exactly saying what that level is, but it's definitely a heightened scrutiny, and that's what we need. Civil rights, constitutional rights should always have a heightened scrutiny. And so far, the state Supreme Court, on two occasions when this case bounced up to them and it was bounced back, have basically supported this particular case, which is now a Second Amendment Foundation case. So we're kind of excited about that. And again, you know, real quickly, you know, we've beaten the city of Chicago twice. We've beaten the city of Illinois, you know, once in key landmark decisions. We're hoping this becomes the fourth one against Illinois.
Well, I think it's going to be. What I'm seeing coming from the Supreme Court is interesting here, the state Supreme Court of Illinois, that is, that it appears to me that when they bounce this back down, as you said, to use your phrase, that they are applying like we said, you don't know, but strict scrutiny is what it needs to be when we're talking about a civil right. So this certainly has legs. We'll explain why they're doing it, on what grounds. The 14th Amendment comes into play here. I'll read you something about that when we come back with Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Then we're going to talk Seattle gun tax. This will blow your mind. Just always stepping on your toes. We'll be right back.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
This is the Monster Broadcast. Thank you, Mike Gallagher. It is the Monster Broadcast because you are listening in hundreds of cities around the country, from coast to coast, from those toasty beaches of South Florida all the way to those crab fishing vessels in Alaska. The One American News Network is on in the Crossbreed Holster safest studios in America. And I got to tell you, it just popped up. I paused it for you. Two fatally shot hours after Baltimore activists call for weekend-long ceasefire. That's because wishful thinking and unicorns aren't reality. We do not call for ceasefires and expect it to work. We are talking about criminals here. Good heavens. Let me go back to Alan Gottlieb and the case in Cook County quickly. We'll wrap this up, Alan, and then I want to move over to the Seattle gun tax because it's just too good to miss. But in this particular case, the case is a refiling, as you said, of an action in 2007 challenging the ordinance on constitutional grounds. Plaintiffs allege that, quoting from your press release, the Cook County Assault Weapons Ordinance as amended and adopted on November 14th, 06, violates the Due Process Clause of the U.S. Constitution as applied to the states by the 14th Amendment because of vagueness in its definition language of assault weapons. Does this have something to do with Heller? Sounds similar. Can you explain that?
Well, you probably may mean McDonald in this case, not Heller, because it was McDonald.
Or McDonald, I'm sorry,
yeah,
correct.
Incorporated the Second Amendment to the states through the 14th Amendment. But you also have a 14th Amendment part of it on due process, on just vagueness. And this is so vague that it basically, who knows what an assault weapon is under the way they've written their statute. And so that's a problem people have been dealing with it as well. So there's a 14th Amendment claim for due process, and there's also a 14th Amendment claim as Second Amendment rights, as of course they now apply to the states, not just the federal government, thanks to the SAF victory in McDonald v. Chicago.
And, of course, SAF, ladies and gentlemen, meaning Second Amendment Foundation, using the acronym. Yeah, it's great stuff. And, you know, the way we could really get in the weeds here, but we won't, the way Alan Gura argued the McDonald decision had some of the justices kind of scratching their heads because he was looking at the 14th Amendment and other issues. It was a lot of fun to watch, but victory is at hand, and hopefully we see the same thing here. Really fun stuff. Okay, let's go back now to a piece on June 15th. Fox News, Dan Springer, Seattle gun tax failure, Firearm sales plummet, violence spikes after law passes. Now let's move to just a couple days ago. Seattle spent more money defending gun tax lawsuit than it collected in revenue from tax gun group claims. Well, the gun group is the Second Amendment Foundation. The great work you're doing, and in this case, too, Dave Workman and Stephen Gutowski from the Free Beacon wrote it. Fox picked it up. What happened?
Well, again, this is not on the gun tax itself, per se, that the city lost this suit on money. We have another suit in court right now challenging the fact of the gun and ammo tax, if they're legally allowed to even put it in place to begin with. But this was over a public records request, because public records are supposed to be available to the public, and the City of Seattle refused to give us the amount of tax that they've actually collected. So under the Public Records Act in Washington State, we also filed a separate suit in court wanting the information, and the city stonewalled, and used the excuse that, well, because there's only five gun stores in Seattle paying the tax, and since one of those gun stores paid over 80% of it, that if they disclosed the total amount, we could figure out how much each gun store basically paid in tax and violate their privacy. Of course, Seattle didn't bother to mention that the gun stores in question are plaintiffs in our suit along with us, and they all consented to the fact that, you know, yes, you can make it public, and in fact, they made it public to us anyway, but the city wouldn't make it public to the public or the mainstream media. And so we ended up going to court, and eventually the judge ruled with a summary judgment in our favor that basically said Seattle had to release the real number, and that at the same time, they had, because the Public Records Act requested and comply with, under that particular law, we get our legal fees paid, and also fine them $1 a day, nominal fine, but $1 a day for not complying with the law. So all told, they're going to have to pay the Second Amendment Foundation about $35,000 in legal fees and fines and penalties and filing costs for the suit. It doesn't end the underlying suit itself, which we're still in court on, but they, now they've had to disclose it. Now, they said they could raise up to $500,000 a year on this tax, and now it turns out it's going to be about $100,000, which is, you know, only 20% of what they claimed. But it's $100,000 when they factor in, Mark, the $35,000 they have to pay us, and the fact that what they've lost in tax revenue from most of the gun stores moving out of the city to begin with, and the lost revenue in taxes from the store that remains because they're not selling other products as well as guns and ammo when people don't come into the store, and their sales are down because people are going outside the city to buy their guns and ammo and bringing them back into the city anyway. The bottom line is the city's actually lost money on this, and it's made a mockery of them, and taxpayers in the city of Seattle should hold these people accountable. Of course, they probably won't, but the bottom line is just how stupid our opponents are sometimes.
It is laughable. This was predictable, and in fact, it was predicted. It was predicted right here on this program by you and others when we first started talking about this. Seattle. You're listening. Spokane, Olympia, you're listening. This is how stupid. This is what they're doing with your tax dollars. Put a stop to it. Make a phone call. Talk to your representatives. Call the city. My gosh, this is just idiotic, and yet they're going to continue to fight this stuff because of an agenda. It's just it's the means to an end. It just doesn't matter. Alan, why would they not give you the numbers?
Well, because it's embarrassing, first of all. I mean, they put this in place basically to try and stop the sale of guns and ammunition and claim that's not what they were doing. And it was money to help fight, quote unquote, gun violence, because gun tax money was supposed to be able to go to studies and things to push gun control. And it looked really stupid on their part because they weren't intellectually honest about it to begin with. And of course, you know, Mark, this is not the first time we've beaten the city of Seattle in court on a gun case. We also knocked out their ban when they wouldn't let you carry firearms, even if you were licensed by the state of Washington, do so on public property in Seattle. And we knocked that ordinance out in court. And so now we're 2-0, and we have a third suit pending against them, and hopefully we'll be 3-0. I mean, Seattle and Chicago just don't want to learn.
Well, listen, again, I got to take the opportunity. SAF.org. Join. This is how we move our agenda, and I love the motto, winning back our gun rights, winning back our freedoms, one lawsuit at a time. And this is at a historic crossroad we are right now where we can do this and literally take it to them right there. I mean, you're looking at it. Seattle, come on, make a decision, do something. Quit this. I'm speechless over this, Alan. It just drives me crazy that this is what they do with our tax dollars. They continue to get beaten, and they're going to do something stupid again, too. You can count on it. My gosh, it leaves you literally speechless. All right, Trump remaking the federal courts.
Yeah, so far, he's making the courts great again. Every one of his nominations so far are people that I think look really good on Second Amendment rights. There's no red flags at all from anybody that he's nominated. It's a breath of fresh air from Barack Obama, who used, I think, gun rights as a litmus test.
Right.
His people had to oppose gun rights, so they weren't going to get nominated. The bottom line is this is really, really great, and Trump's going to be able to nominate about a third of the judges on the whole judiciary in the federal courts. Our only problem right now, the Democrats doing everything they can to slow down the hearings on these nominees and the confirmation of these nominees, so that even though we only need a simple majority vote and they can't filibuster them anymore because of their own stupidity when they implied that
5 seconds, Alan.
But the bottom line is we're going to get a pro-gun court system under Trump.
Very, very great news. Alan Gottlieb, thank you for everything you do. SAF.org. Join us. We'll be back with Jerry Henry.
I wish I could say I was shocked to hear the Chicago Tribune report that 56 people were wounded, 11 of them fatally, over the weekend in Chicago. But the reality is we're living in dangerous times. Of the lives that were taken, one belonged to 10-year-old Gustavo, who was simply riding in a car with his dad when he was attacked. Can you believe that? An innocent child. It reminded me of a story I heard recently about a USCCA member, David, whose own young sons were threatened by armed thugs during a trip to the barber shop. David was forced to defend his family with his firearm, killing one thug and wounding the other. The good news is the USCCA is there to help you. They were there to guide David through the devastating aftermath. Visit armedandresponsible.com to hear all the shocking details from David's story and to see the live news footage that captured the very moment he was forced to shoot. And while you're there, discover how you too can protect your family's future from the unthinkable. Just go to armedandresponsible.com. Armedandresponsible.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
This episode of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
A little bit of AC/DC bringing us back. Teachuscca.com, uscca.com. I've got information for you on that coming up in the next segment as we return back from a break. I want to tell you a quick story. Just to let you know, we do have some heavy weather rolling through the area here of the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Sometimes it's very rare, but it is possible. We do have tons and tons of great, great, very, very great backup systems. But you never know. From time to time, it can cause a disruption. If it causes a hiccup between my boards and the mothership at Salem Radio Network, We'll just have Shanto fill that airtime and we'll run a backup or something for a couple seconds. Don't expect it to happen, but just giving you a heads up, it's possible. It's possible. It's not very, very possible. It's just possible. Welcome back to the program. Very, very great segments, right, with Alan Gottlieb. My gosh, how much do you learn from Alan every single week when he's on? I miss him when he's not. But I've got to, again, SAF.org, I have to let you know this. It's great to be a member of the National Rifle Association with, you know, Gun Owners of America. It's great. Everybody, we should all be members of all of these organizations. But I got to tell you, this is the opportunity before us with the Second Amendment Foundation, the only organization out there that is fighting in courts and winning cases. Peruta out in California, that was a Second Amendment Foundation court. The Wren v. D.C. case, a big victory in Washington, a Second Amendment Foundation case. Cook County, Illinois, of course, the McDonald case. The Ezra case, you know, Moore v. Madigan. These are huge cases that are going down in history for gun rights. And it's just cleaning the clocks of the antis and the gun grabbers, and it's the Second Amendment Foundation that's doing it. Pure donations. A life membership's $150. If you can scrape it up, do it. You get a great plaque. I've got one right here in these Crossbreed Holster studios. And give a donation at the site, saf.org. This is where the money goes. And, you know, something about that Seattle, too. I got to talking with Sean during the break about that. It's hard to leave me speechless. It really is. But that just baffles my mind that the city of Seattle would continue to waste taxpayer dollars. Seattle residents, my gosh, I don't know how you put up with it. I really don't know how you put up with it. I would hope whether you like guns, gun rights or don't, that you would contact the city and say, look, man, we have a Second Amendment right. Stop standing in the way with my money. It's that simple. I don't know how you put up with it, but, man, good heavens. It's just prime example of elections having consequences, and they truly do. All right, grassroots. That's what we're talking about here, right? Second Amendment Foundation, grassroots organizations. I'm a big fan of the grassroots organizations. I'm a member of Arizona Citizens Defense League. Need to re-up my membership at Second Amendment, New Jersey, NJ2AS, New Jersey Second Amendment Society. Guys doing wonderful work there. Florida Carry, kicking it down in Florida. ISRI, you just heard, Illinois State Rifle Association in Illinois. VCDL, and many, many others. I'm not leaving yours out intentionally. Kevin Starrett out in Oregon from Oregon Firearms Federation, and all of you out there, Kansas State Pistol and Rifle Association. This is the boots on the ground doing the work and working with groups like Second Amendment Foundation and changing legislation across the country, state after state after state. And one of my favorite organizations is one I've been a member of for many, many years, and that's GeorgiaCarry.org. The great Jerry Henry, they know who he is in Tunisia. So you need to know who he is here in the States. Jerry Henry, welcome to the program. Executive Director of GeorgiaCarry.org. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Well, it's always a pleasure, but some of your introductions even leave me speechless.
Well, that, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll let that one go. You know, Gottlieb,
you need
has
to tone him down a little bit, okay?
I can't tone him down a little bit. Jerry, that just drives me nuts. When I see what goes on out in cities like Seattle where these people spend tons and tons of money to come after law-abiding gun owners with taxes that they know aren't going to work or should know they're not going to work, and then get the pants sued off of them and lose even more money. Come on, man. These people work hard for their money.
You.
Wow, just crazy
you.
Stuff.
Why don't you continue to throw your tax money away? I mean, they found enough ways to waste your tax money without fighting a constitutional right.
It's just ridiculous. I know.
You know?
We're talking about constitutional rights, people. It's very, very frustrating. All right, Jerry, GeorgiaCarry.org, wonderful organization, great stuff, great work. Just got Campus Carry moved through. It's signed. It's law. Just read an article about it today that Campus Carry is now the law of the land in boom, 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 and Georgia. And I thought, wow, you know, I had a hand in that because I'm a member of GeorgiaCarry. We just had our ninth annual meeting, and it's really amazing that it's been 9 years. But tell us what we found out. What's going on at this level here, and why is it important across the country?
Well, the same thing is going on here that's always been going on. We find something wrong, we go after it, we attack it. There's a few things that we're looking at for next year. As I said to some people, you know, the big, we're at the point now where the big drum beats or whatever are gone. We've got most of the big things that we wanted. Now we have to concentrate incrementally on making some of those big things even better. And there are ways that we can do that, and that's what we intend to do.
When you say, because I mean, this goes down the rabbit hole, and because you brought it up, I kind of want to go there. I want maybe someone who's not a member of their state organization to hear what we're talking about here and say, you know what, I really need to join in my state. I need to join Kansas State Pistol and Rifle. I need to join Illinois, or I need to join New York Pistol and Rifle, wherever it may be, because of the conversation we're having here. You say we've gotten some of the big things out of the way. Give me an example of what would be a big thing. Let's go down to a little one.
We've gotten most of them. When we started off about 10 years ago, Georgia's gun laws were about number 43 or 4 worst in the United States. We had more places off limits than any other state due to an old Jim Crow law, which was 1870, called a public gathering. It said you could not carry to or while at a public gathering, which consists of but is not limited to churches, government buildings, political rallies, forgot the other two, bars, couldn't carry any bars, and churches. And you could, the public gathering not only included those places, but all the parking lots of those places. So we got that after only 170 years, I believe it was. We got that repealed. No, 140 years. We got
it's that 140, repealed. Thank goodness.
Yeah, we got that repealed. That was a big thing, which we really wanted to do. But in the meantime, there were some smaller things that went along with it. We also been carrying the government buildings. We got it codified that a lawman cannot detain you solely for the purpose of determining whether or not you have a license to carry a firearm. We can carry openly, which we could carry openly before with a license. We had a big problem getting our license back then. There was a state law that said they had to issue within 60 days, but they didn't. We had one guy that went 7 years. Now, any big state you go or any probate court you go into in the state, you're looking at about 35 days max, or they're going to get sued. And they know that, and they're turning those licenses around. And we've had numerous increase in the number of laws. We got, as you say, college campus. That was a big one. We weren't sure we were going to get that. At one time, you couldn't carry into churches at all, and the churches were not allowed by law to allow you to carry there. Now the churches can allow you to do that. There's just a long list of laundry things that were big items that we've continually knocked down to where. We're looking now at the smaller ones, which, in fact, will make the big ones, some of the big ones that we pass, even bigger.
All right, let me stop you there because we're getting ready to take a break. Perfect place to end it. We'll go into some of the small ones. It's important because that I would refer to it kind of as cleanup, right? Let's go in. We got the big one knocked out. Let's go in and clean up some things. The public gathering is a great example. Boy, that was a real mess.
That was a mess.
Terrible mess. And I want to talk about the racist roots of gun control and why that public gathering law. We say Jim Crow. Let's tell it what it is. It was racist, flat out racist. And it stood here in Georgia for 140 years. We'll be back with the great Jerry Henry, executive director of GeorgiaCarry.org. Join your state's rights organization, please. This is the kind of work they do. We'll be right back.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call?
Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions because, believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the six things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
I wish I could say I was shocked to hear the Chicago Tribune report that 56 people were wounded, 11 of them fatally, over the weekend in Chicago. But the reality is we're living in dangerous times. Of the lives that were taken, one belonged to 10-year-old Gustavo, who was simply riding in a car with his dad when he was attacked. Can you believe that? An innocent child. It reminded me of a story I heard recently about a USCCA member, David, whose own young sons were threatened by armed thugs during a trip to the barber shop. David was forced to defend his family with his firearm, killing one thug and wounding the other. The good news is the USCCA is there to help you. They were there to guide David through the devastating aftermath. Visit armedandresponsible.com to hear all the shocking details from David's story and to see the live news footage that captured the very moment he was forced to shoot. And while you're there, discover how you too can protect your family's future from the unthinkable. Just go to armedandresponsible.com. armedandresponsible.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Filling your prescription for freedom. Here's the host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
All right, welcome back to the program. I'm going to tone down my intro here for Jerry. That Seattle thing, man. Seattle, you really got me going on that. It's just mind-boggling to me, so I'll just talk about it in my inside voice. I'll use my inside voice, and I'll say, do something about it. Elections have consequences. Fix the problem. Stop the insanity, the madness. It's crazy. It's your money. I guess it doesn't matter to you that they waste it like this and then have to pay the legal fees for the Second Amendment Foundation and any other group. Jerry Henry, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
You know, by the way, the USCCA, well, I've got a story to tell about that. I'll do that in the next hour. So I want you to stick around with me because it's kind of cool. I'm going to send you to a new website also. So stay with me. You'll hear about it in the next hour. Jerry, the racist roots of gun control, well, well documented in the state that you and I reside right now, well documented. The every town for gun safeties, the Bloombergs, they never discuss it because they don't want to. No. They don't want to make the association because gun control at its very core is racist. And John Lott has told us time after time after time that it keeps usually poor, urban, black, other minorities from being able to arm themselves to defend themselves. We see what's happening in Chicago. It's nothing short of racist, and that's why they're not marching on the streets up there, because they can't be associated with it. But the public gathering law, we fixed that problem here in the state. And just recently, we had to go in and we had to do some cleanup work with the other bills. This is what I want people to understand. So you go in and you get that big legislation done, like campus carry. Maybe we're going to look at campus carry down the road and go, you know, we need to fix this or tweak this, so we take it back to the legislature. Isn't that how it works?
Oh, yes, we'll do that. There's no two ways about that. And you're right. It was racist roots. The purpose of gun laws in the South was to keep blacks disarmed, because they were afraid that they would go after the white people who had mistreated them when they were property, when they were slaves. And, you know, the Northerners that came down here during Reconstruction just couldn't have that. So we went into gun control, and it just continued to roll on and on and on and on. We lost that all incrementally, just like we're trying to win it right back now, and that's what we've done. Like you said, the public gathering was so vaguely written, and at the time that it was written, it should be pointed out that only citizens of Georgia could hold public office. And guess who the only citizens were? You had to be white. Otherwise, you were not a citizen of Georgia. Didn't matter where you were born, you were not a citizen of Georgia. So therefore, anybody that was going to enforce these laws had the ability, or had the power to enact them and enforce them any way they wanted to. If you saw two black guys standing on the corner, one of them had a gun, guess what? That's a public gathering. But you could see 15 or 20 white guys over here, that's okay. That's not a public gathering. And there wasn't a whole lot you could do about that, because the judges, the sheriffs, everybody involved in the process were of the other race. So that's how it really got started, and then it just continued to evolve on down the road. And it was involving everybody by the time we got around to trying to fix some of these things. Some of the laws in Georgia were so crazy. One of the things I didn't mention a while ago that we got rid of, in 2006, if you walked by a bus stop or were standing at a bus stop, a public bus stop in the state of Georgia, and you got caught by a policeman, you were subject to a felony. Now you can carry on the bus, you can carry on the rapid transit system here in Florida, you can carry into the airport. And those are the things that we've had to fight because of the public gathering that allowed everybody to continue to pour on their restrictions on gun rights.
You know, it's fascinating to me, because I've told this story often. I'll give you the crib note version. But when I originally moved to Florida many years ago, the Gunshine State, widely regarded as the greatest gun laws in the country. Arizona was not yet constitutional carry. Florida was setting the pace around the country. That's why we continue to watch Florida. That's why when something like Stand Your Ground happens, it continues to roll around the country. We pay very careful attention to what happens there. And California, for example, from the other side. But the gun laws in Florida were widely regarded as the best in the nation. By the time I moved to Georgia years later and switched residencies, the gun laws in Georgia were backwards compared to Florida. In the 10 short years that I've been here, we are decades ahead. I say we, meaning Georgia, decades ahead of Florida. Now, I don't think I'll live long enough to see Florida catch up to where we are in Georgia at this stage of my life. And I got to be honest with you, it's because of the grassroots organization. That's where I want to go with this. So if you're listening to this and you have an organization in your state, you absolutely have to join. Jerry, isn't it true that the more membership Georgia Carry has, the more clout we can carry in the legislature?
Certainly. Certainly it is. There's power in numbers. I mean, we had a state legislator speaking at our convention yesterday. So one of the things he said, there's power in numbers. There's two things that are involved when you start trying to push legislation through. Number one, you need people to contact their legislators. And we tell our members, if you aren't on a first-name basis with your senator, your state senator, and your state representative, you're behind the eight ball. You need to move up and get to know those people, to where when they're walking down the street, they see you, they say, hi, Mark, hi, Jerry, and they know exactly who you are and what you're doing. And the other thing is, when you're speaking with them or when you're conversing with them in any way, shape, or form, be polite. You're not going to win anything by jumping up and down, screaming and shouting, and say, if you vote against this, I'm never going to vote for you. One vote is not going to get that man put out of office. And in fact, depending on where they live, one whole organization is not going to get him put out of office. Because there's a whole lot more voters than just the organization members. And there are other things to consider besides just gun rights. So the way you approach them and the number of people that approach them is what makes the difference.
Yeah, it's vital. And these people are approachable, too, by the way. Your state representatives,
yeah.
They are your neighbors. I had dinner with a – now, she was – I'm out of her district in the state here, but she's on another part of the county, you know.
Mandy.
But I had an opportunity – you know, it's a first-name basis thing, and they are absolutely accessible. You see them shopping in grocery stores. They're not in – I mean, you know, come on.
No.
Make friends with them. They'll go to lunch with you. They'll go to dinner with you. Meet them somewhere and have a conversation with them.
Well, as an example, if you remember last night when we gave her Legislator of the Year award, she came up on stage and gave me a hug.
Right.
That's how we get along. That's the way it's always been almost, because we understand we're both fighting for the same thing. We know that she has our back, and she knows that we have her back. And I'm some of these bills that we've passed, we have had to do that. We've had to work with them to make sure that the message was right. And we've done that, they've done that, and it's helped get a lot of these things done.
Yeah, it's great stuff. It really is. And here's the key. Here's the takeaway from this, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you happen to be listening to this right now, no matter what state you're in, there is power in those numbers. Those representatives know when they see you that you are part of an organization that has thousands of members behind you. They understand that when they look at you, they're looking at a force to be reckoned with, not just you, but they're looking at that organization. And believe me, it makes a difference. Hey, Jerry, we're at the end of it, man. Thank you. Out of time again, I'm telling you. Fastest hour in radio. Hey, thank you, brother, for everything you do. Great seeing you yesterday. Jerry Henry, GeorgiaCarry.org. You can join the organization from anywhere in the country, GeorgiaCarry.org. It's pretty straightforward. That's where you go on the web, GeorgiaCarry.org. And check out all the cool stuff. If you're a member of your organization in your state, you want to see how they're doing it and how they've changed these laws and some of them in place for over 100.5 years, check it out. It's all right there for you. Maybe you can take some of it away from you and put it to work in your state as well. When we come back later in the hour, AWR Hawkins is going to be here. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. Remember, until we meet in the next hour, you know the routine, right? Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. We'll see you back here in a few minutes.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.